Hello and welcome in to the Sight and Sound Technology Podcast. This is episode number 23, and I'm Stuart Lawler. It seems like a different lifetime, and not very long time ago, since we brought Glenn Tuckey, our CEO, onto this podcast, but actually it was only 5 months ago, almost to the day 5 months, when Glenn and I sat in the Skyline Hotel here in Dublin. And at that time, we were relaxing and reflecting on the year that was 2019 and looking forward to the year 2020. We never thought we'd see ourselves in May of 2020, where so many things in society and the business in which we operate have changed. Glenn, welcome to the podcast.
Yes, good afternoon, Stuart.
I should say that, in the interests of social distancing and all, we are in virtual studios, I suppose, on a Microsoft Teams link. We'll have lots of time to talk about the business and the challenges for the business in a second. But just let's, first of all, because COVID-19 has impacted everyone personally, how are you doing, first of all, you personally?
I'm probably as stir crazy as most of the people I talk to. I'm lucky. I live near the River Thames in London's Docklands, so my outlook from my front window and from my balcony, if the weather's half decent, is right onto the river. So I've got a sort of calming outlook, but you know, I really miss being with people. I really miss that face-to-face contact and the laugh and the joke and what's going on, and just being in an environment where things are happening. I actually quite like traveling to different places and seeing different things. So whilst I've communicated the hell out of my headset over the last 8 weeks, I am missing the world as it was. And I know it'll change. I know it won't be the same, but I do want to be able to come and shake your hand at some stage and say, hey, nice to see you again, Stuart, you know?
Yeah, it's really weird you say that. So I haven't seen you, I haven't seen any of my colleagues in the UK since February. And yet I would say Glenn, we've probably spoken more than we did in the previous 16 months I was working for the company.
I think it's absolutely true. We talked fairly regularly, didn't we? But we don't talk anything like as regularly as we are currently doing. Driven a lot by the different roles that we've adopted. Yourself and myself, you were running the Irish business, and I was mainly sitting in the role of CEO and strategy, but now I'm sales and marketing director as well. And you're doing everything, but certainly you're our recording and broadcast head. So we've pushed ourselves into the same space, probably, which is getting us working a little bit more. But you touched on a point there that I think is one of the key things here. Communication is happening now at a much greater pace. People do feel a need to contact people, communicate and talk. But I think there's a slight challenge there, because I think over communication can be one of the problems as well. You know, my inbox is seeing 100 to 150 plus emails a day. And actually, I do wonder if perhaps it will settle down a little bit into a more efficient way of communicating, because at the moment I think everybody's talking to everybody about everything all the time. But you know, it's good. Yep, we are talking a lot.
We are indeed. Okay, let's talk a bit about, I suppose, let's go back maybe to February, mid to late February. And we were hearing things about, you know, China, what's happening in China. From a manufacturing and supply chain perspective, we were hearing about some potential holdups in some of the technology that we were supplying. Were you starting to get feelings that, God, things might be changing for my business? Or did it really hit your radar at that point?
No, I'd like to say I was insightful and was watching the world as with my finger on every single pulse, Stuart, but no, I was not cognizant. As I saw China start to close down, but remember, China really marketed this very well. And as far as you could see, Wuhan had closed down, but nothing has ever been discussed about Beijing and the other large cities. And you didn't get the feeling that manufacturing was in the Far East was grinding to a halt. And the other thing I didn't understand then, that this would be such a virulent disease, and that this would actually not just shut something like manufacturing down in a town in China, city in China, but actually was shut the world down. So no, it didn't. It came over us like a tsunami, actually, because the impact was dramatic. As I watched event cancel, home demo cancel, meetings cancel, and it was just rolling through by the hour. Everything was just, you know, ending and stopping. So no, I didn't see it coming. It did roll over us at a fairly fast pace, and then business agility, I think, was the key.
Yeah, and I mean, if we fast forward to kind of middle of March, when I suppose most of us were working from home because we were forced to work from home, you were suddenly having to take a business that's very hands-on, very face-to-face, and you've mentioned all those face-to-face things that were suddenly cancelled. You're taking a business like that to be online almost overnight. What was kind of going through your head in terms of trying to get this thing done really quickly? Because usually people, if this was in a non-pandemic, there'd be planning, there'd be things you'd be thinking about for a long time. You're thrown right into this.
Yeah, I think agility is the key. And I realized that, well, I sat down and thought, how do we make sure that we have a secure business at the end of this? What does this mean? Oh, it means we're going to have to move into an online way of working. Okay, we've got a very agile business. Within an hour or two, the whole business was up and running from people's homes, exactly as if they were in the office. They picked up their phone, they picked up their PC, they picked up their screen if they needed it, went home, plugged in, all calls routed, all emails routed. And we had two families who work for the company who took one floor of the business, the one took another floor of the business, so they were socially distanced, and they managed all the logistics. I would say by the next morning, we were fully up and running, full capacity and full quality level. So, yeah, that worked really very well. And everybody logs into into a Zooms call, and you see like the Brady Bunch, all the faces on the screen, sometimes up to 40 of them, and people are communicating and laughing and sending messages and talking to each other. So the business side, although I believed it was fairly something that would probably die down, it was a very, oh my God, this is fantastic. I'm working from home. I get out of bed 5 minutes before I start, and look, wow, I'm off and going. I thought that would, the novelty will wear off, but it doesn't seem to have done. But the real key, the real opportunity and the real challenge was talking to our client base. And do you know, one thing I think has changed, I was thinking, you asked me what I thought. I thought, right, how do we get ourselves communicating with our customers? And I thought, but that is actually something that we're very, very good at. And actually, you as the leader of running our webinars and designing them in our business have done a fantastic job, but not quite the pace and the scale that we're doing it now. But I thought, we're good at this. Let's do it well. So we created the webinars, we created the podcasts, we created a weekly newsletter. We put lots of opportunities and discounts and promotions to give people great value for money while they're working from home, perhaps with less income. And I've got to say, it worked. People responded to it. And that is what has changed. Not necessarily that we changed. We did a lot more of what we do very well. But our client base changed, because most people who are certainly who are blind or visually impaired, and those in our education business, weren't used to, or weren't pushed into, or weren't forced to operate remotely or digitally with anybody, really. They like the face-to-face as well. They like the social of the face-to-face with their supply chain and with their charities, etc. So what has changed is that everybody is now prepared to, and has seen the value in, and has got themselves as good as they can get at doing this online thing. And now we're talking to people who are open to listen to us in the format in which they're listening to us now on this podcast. And that's what's changed. It's not us necessarily, although we're doing it and doing it fast. It's our clients, our customers, our suppliers. Everybody's, oh, this is the way you do it. And that's what we're doing.
I think sometimes, Glenn, we're almost, people are almost in touch with us more than they might have been had this pandemic not happened. So people who attend maybe a regular webinar, who almost see us now as yes, an information source, and we are one of their tech companies, but there it's also a social link for some people who might be experiencing very little contact with the outside world.
Yeah, I think it's two things. I think it's social. I think it's education. I think that what we've sought to do is not to go out and sell to people. People will buy things as they need them, as they want them, but we've actually tried to show the value that I think we have as a company, in that we're more than just a sales distribution company. We're a technical support company. We're a training company. We have a wealth of knowledge and understanding about the wide range of top level products that we take to market. And what we're doing now is just talking to people about how they work, where they fit, how they can use them. If you're an intermediary like a charity or a teacher or a trader, then we're talking to people about how you best use them in your day-to-day role. So I think people have warmed to that, and I think they like and enjoy coming along to what I found are some fantastic tea and cakes party without tea and cakes.
Absolutely. Virtual coffee mornings and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's it like for you you're the CEO, and yet I can only imagine you're sort of, because you're in the middle of lots of people who have expectations of you, I suppose. You're on one side, you have your chairman and the board of directors, I suppose, and on the other side you have your staff and your management team. But all these people are sort of looking to you going, Glenn, what's happening, and where are we going? Does it hit you every so often that all these people kind of hang to some degree on the decisions that you make for the business, and then in turn for their livelihood? And you know, all these things are linked, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely they are. And I think that's my number one job. My job was to provide security, and someone needed to corral, cohort, you know, and lead this changes we made. So decisions had to be made. Right, let's do these. And as you know, as part of the management team, we discussed it. We talked about it. And said, right, let's do these. Let's get webinars, podcasts, newsletters, weekly newsletter. Let's form a, you know, digital broadcast team. And my job was to give the people the roles, make sure they were supported in them, but actually go off and do these new things with no risk. Let's do it. Let's try it. Let's plan it, because we love to plan things and do them well. And see how it works. So my job was to give security by making things happen that could allow us to continue to trade as a company, give confidence to people that they knew that if they asked me the question, then I had an answer. I had researched. I don't have all the answers, but I had researched and were thinking, and I went out and I used the government schemes to ensure that the company had the financial backing that it needed should the markets not present as we hoped they would. We didn't need it, but we have the backup there if we need it. So my job was to go away and provide the cocoon in which everybody else could say, great, I can get out of bed. I know what my job is. I know it's different, but I've got all the tools. I'm kept safe. As you know, we talk a lot about how keeping people safe, not overworking people. There's a great, I think, challenge for people who are sitting at home, we're seeing very few people, who are working from home, to stay online, to stay in their inbox, to stay working. And from one angle, as a business leader, that's fantastic. Everybody's pitching in all the time. But from the other angle, that's not good. People need a bit of space. They need some head, you know, a bit of head space to see their families or to watch the TV or to do nothing. And so part of my job is to stop people doing too much. I know that's hard to do, and in your case, seems impossible to do. But nevertheless, my job was to provide security, to provide confidence, to provide a safe place for the team to work, and then to go out and chat to everybody we could and make them know that we were here, we're open, we've got quality, we've got capacity, and if you want need us, we're here.
And it's really interesting, Glenn, because I suppose I know from chatting to other colleagues here in the business and from just having conversations and just observing how people work, there's this newfound energy. I know I find that the days are just, they fly through and you're there going, we're at the end of another week. We sort of sit on the management team meetings every Monday and we're kind of saying, wow, another week is gone and there's so many things happening. It's extremely busy, and it's moving at a different pace in some ways to if we were all going into the office every day.
I know, and I sit and think, why haven't we been doing this forever? Why did it take something like this to step us up another gear? Now, I know, you know, there's a desire and a need in us all to go, right, if we don't pull our weight, if we don't do our stuff, if we don't, you know, think more openly, then we may not be here. Our business may not be here. Our livelihood may not be here. So I think there's a, you know, from everybody, including me down, there's a, right, you know, when the tough get going, you know, the going gets, the tough get going. And I think very much that's what's happened. But you know what? I am excited. And it's made me think out of the box. It's made me stretch my mind to think, how can we do this in a way in which is exciting and is good quality and reflects the values that we have for our business and our colleagues? And so I get up in the morning and I'm sort of running around in a way that I haven't probably been for many years, actually. And it's good busy. But I do sit down and wonder and say, so what was I doing wrong as a leader that we weren't always doing it like this all the time? I'm not sure we can carry on, by the way, at this pace, year in, year out. But for sure, we've learned some new things, haven't we? And we're trying new things all the time. And that's the good thing about this. There's lots of bad things, but that's the good thing about what's happened. It's forced us to open our minds and to think more widely.
So we are starting anyway, hopefully, to move towards an exit from a very challenging nine or 10 weeks, I suppose, of COVID-19. Some really, really difficult times for lots of people. How do you see the industry being impacted, I suppose, the broader AT industry and the sector in which we all work? And maybe what can our customers expect into the future? I know, for example, lots of people still like that face-to-face, someone sitting beside them with a braille display or CCTV, but it's realistically going to be a while, isn't it, before we see that?
I think it's going to be some months before people are sitting face-to-face in the cozy way that we used to. I think people will be sitting face-to-face in the autumn, but probably still socially distanced or taking until they you know, a vaccine arrives. I think people will always, they won't forget this for a long, long time. And some people are more likely to be careful for a lot longer than others. We know that's human nature. But no, I think that we will get back to a much more balanced mix of the two. We won't be as frenetically providing and creating content. Although, as you know, we've already designed for Sight and Sound broadcast channels that we're going to continue to bring to market long after this is finished. You know, your webinar Wednesdays are famous. We do work around eye care professionals. We're going to bring a lot of future tech to our end users, because we've seen and we listen to a thirst for knowledge, and we work in the education sector, and we've got a whole range of work we're going to do there as well. So I think that we'll have a digital broadcast go to the market part of our business now, because we proved it works. And as I said, our clients have said they like it and they want it, and they weren't shouting at us before saying, get online, you know, get into us by the internet. But now they're saying, well, this works, this is good. So I think it'll be a balance of the two, and I think it will be 2021 before you don't even think about where you're going and how you're doing it, just that we will have a range of channels, and face to face will be one, hopefully less miles on the road for all of us, but actually a mix of the two. And I think that's the way the world will be. Working from home, I don't think we need necessarily an office the size that we've got it. I think we are very, very effectively working from home. But I'll say this, I don't think many businesses, and ours is certainly one, could operate as efficiently as they do if people didn't know each other before, didn't know their personalities before, didn't know the jobs and how to do the jobs before all this happened. They can go home because they know exactly what to do. And if we had to double the size of our business and bring people in, then I think you'd still have to know each other, understand each other, work with each other and work in the business before you could then go and take the whole thing at home. Now, I'm sure if we could never see each other again, we would learn ways of running our businesses completely online. So I'll never say never again. But I do think that this works very well for us, because as a management team, we know each other, you know, we know what works and what doesn't work. And that is certainly part of, I think, life. You know, you do need to be touching people. So I think it'll be a balance of the two going forwards. But yeah, maybe one that's a bit more exciting for some of our customers as well.
Glenn, it's been great to chat to you. It's been great to catch up and to get a bit of an insight into how things have been for you and the business over the last 9 or 10 weeks. For me, I have to say, it's been really comforting knowing that you were sort of guiding that ship and bringing us along, and we can really feel now that we're over the worst of it and coming out the other side in a very different way, but coming out a very strong team and very strong brand. So thanks very much for chatting to us today and for giving us your time.
Been a pleasure. Thank you, Stuart.
And that's all for this edition of our podcast. Stay safe and stay well. We'll be back with you soon. But until then, from Stuart Lawler and everyone at Sight & Sound Technology, goodbye.